This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Project, welcome back to this episode. We are going to talk about today on the Thursday show. We're going to talk about training. Thursday show, training show, whatever you want to call it. If you're first time listening, basically we use these episodes. We want to dive deep into some training topics because that's what we are. We're a health and fitness podcast. Sorry. But before we dive into today's show, we're going to talk about, is social media killing your gains? Before we dive into it, one thing that's definitely not killing your gains and actually is probably improving your gains is the whoop strap. You guys know already, we've got hundreds, if not over 1,000 listeners at this point, using the whoop strap, which is the world's most advanced training technology. It's 24/7 biofeedback. So you're looking at calorie burn, aka strain, you're looking at recovery, and you're looking at sleep. And this algorithm or this data is being basically sent 150 megabytes of data, which is a lot, being sent to your phone, and it's basically creating a personalized algorithm based off your lifestyle as to how well you handle stress, how well you can recover from whatever you're doing from that stress, training stress, life stress, work stress, family stress, and then also how well you're sleeping. You're spending 8 hours in bed, but how good is that sleep? How long are you actually asleep for? So getting these insights, so valuable. Making those small changes so valuable because when you actually have something you can measure, you can actually improve it and see the improvements. Or if you think you're doing something that's improving and it's actually not, you have the data to show it. So it's really an unfair advantage in many ways to kind of hack the system and improve every aspect of your health and fitness. So I would very much recommend that everyone gets an opportunity to wear a whoop strap. If you haven't already, go check it out. TheMindMuscleProject.com/whoop. You get a discount with our code on there. And guys, just we always appreciate you guys keeping the faith and trusting in the products that we promote to you. That being said, the next one, Black Roll, the best foam rolls on the market. Again, it still shocks me how dense these are. It's basically got the strength and the density of a lacrosse ball, but the weight of like styrofoam.
Yeah.
I
think it's lighter.
Man, it is.
It's like anti-gravity. It like floats up.
It is actually incredible. Their products are amazing. And if you're not sure what we're talking about all different massage tools. So foam rollers, we're talking about balls, peanuts that you can roll down your spine. All things that have been around for a long time, but have never been done extremely well. And that's why I've never really been interested in the sponsorship around this stuff because I'm like, rollers end up breaking or they're too hard or they're too dense or they're too soft and it's just not that good. And then Black Roll comes along, biggest foam rolling company in the world, amazing products, made out of Germany, German engineering, you can never fault it. So if you guys head to themindmuscleproject.com/blackroll, pick yourself up some premium mobility tools and they're all fully recyclable as well, which is a bonus if you plan on throwing it out ever, but you won't need to. It's just nice stuff to keep around your home, nice stuff to keep around the office, really nice stuff to keep at the gym. For your clients or even for yourself. So again, the mindmuscleproject.com/blackroll, one word, if you want to go check that out. All right, so is social media killing your gains? Now, there's a few different aspects we want to go into. Let's start with the negatives, and then I feel like we can give you the positives, and I feel like we'll leave the decision with you guys if you feel like it's benefiting you or not. Now, the first thing that's got to be talked about is every single thing that you see on social media is in some ways not always 100% the truth. And what that means is that it's not always the truth. So the stuff that I post is maybe not always the truth is because it's a highlight of my life. And you're not getting the full context of my day. And so that's why I say it's fake in some ways because you are, it's that famous saying, you're looking at the highlight reel. You're only looking at the things I want to post. Do I want to post the boring, sad, not funny, not entertaining stuff? No, I only want to post the stuff on there that's going to motivate people and excite them, and they're going to talk about it, and they're going to share it. So you end up creating this page that is just this absolute fantastic highlight reel of your life, which is just nothing like how it actually is. And then you can go to the even more extreme spectrum, which is people are just posting stuff on there that's not real. They post a photo in front of a car. It's not their car. They rented it or like they just found it in the street and they posted it. Or they post a fucking photo of them on a jet. They Photoshop the jet on the tarmac. You know, people do that. People Photoshop watches on their wrist. You know, they Photoshop their abs. They bring their waist in. They bring their shoulders out. Like this is known stuff. And yet,
it's like when someone posts a photo of just like a barbell on the floor and hits a plate on it, like deadlifts.
Yeah.
I'm like, but did you do deadlifts? Or is that just a heavy bar on the floor?
Yeah, it's so good. So it's fake. So, I mean, we know that's the case, but how do we know who's faking and who's not? I mean, you really don't know. That's the tricky part. You actually don't, unless someone is like exposed or they post a photo of themselves doing it. You know, it's really hard to tell what the truth is and what it isn't. Believe me, I've been in this world for a long time, and what you see online and who you meet and how they are in person can sometimes be a complete mismatch. So you just have to be very careful with that stuff. And we hope that we've built enough trust with you guys over the years that you feel like, you know, we are who we are on the microphones here. I mean, it's pretty hard to fake who we are over, like, you know, 6 years and nearly 900 episodes. So yeah, all I want to do is just kind of caveat this whole conversation with what you see online. Don't always take it for 100% the truth, which is, you know, easier said than done. Sometimes you just completely forget. So is that potentially killing your gains? Well, let's go to the next step. It might be because of this really tempting to change your program.
Yeah, and I think this is a big one because you often get a program, you're excited. You're like, you're in it. Think about programs, they take a while.
Yeah.
So you jump on this program for, I don't know, whatever, months, years, if you're with a coach. And the best thing to do is like stick with the program. You go online and then you start seeing, oh, this person's doing like this thing. Oh, maybe I could do a bit of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't done clusters for a long time.
Yeah.
Man, that I can see how well it's working for this person. They're just like me. I should throw it in, right? All it is distractions.
Mm.
It reminds me of, it's like, it's really similar, I think, to like trading stocks. They had this thing and it was like, they went back and they looked at like all the most successful investors in this fund. And the most successful ones were people that had opened account and then passed away. Right, they were dead. So they just left it, right?
Right.
And then the second most successful group of people in who bought these funds were people that had forgotten their password and couldn't log back in. They're the two most successful cohorts, right? Because basically, they just didn't fuck with it.
Mm.
And everybody else that like went in and like sold a bit and then bought some more and then were just like changing it with what they saw in the news, they all did worse.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like, it's not exactly the same, but it's a bit like that with your program. If you just, once you have committed, like maybe often online is a great place to find good programs. But once you have found it, you need to just stick it through. And if you sit there all day looking at other people that sell programs, they sell it really well. We see our programs, you're on a different program. Don't buy our program if you're already on a good program. See out your program and then you
And then buy our program and then never go back to another program ever again. But yeah, no, it's a good point. I think it's like, it's that shiny object syndrome, right? Oh, that looks really good. I want to do that for a bit. Or I want to do this. You feel like you're missing out, right? You feel like, oh, well, that guy's getting that. I want a piece of that. That guy's doing this. I want a piece of that. Or she's doing that. She's doing this. I want a piece of that. Whereas if you try and do everything, you get nothing, right? It's like trying to chase multiple rabbits at once. You catch no rabbits. So it's very important that you do stick to your program. And like, you know, maybe you need to park it somewhere on a list. Be like, oh, make sure I check out this guy's post again and that program's really interesting. And then when you get to your program, here's a list of all the stuff that popped up for you, because maybe you just need a place to park that idea to just know, okay, I'm not going to like forget about it. I'm not going to be tempted emotionally. And then like when I sit down, I'm like relaxed, objective. Is this something I want to do? Like, is this, like, who am I going to choose for the next program? Maybe you decide, oh, I was just like really, you know, going through a hard week that week. I was stressed and I just felt like I needed something new to excite me, right? And you just kind of get out of that phase. So that's really the first thing. The next thing that I would sort of add to this is creating your own echo chamber. I think it's really important. So if you are creating your own echo chamber, which most of us are doing because an algorithm is obviously curating our online content for us, is that you will end up, if you are unfortunate enough, like many of us, to go on a rabbit hole of bad ideas, is you start to believe like, oh, okay, if I go vegan and I stick to Tai Chi in the park and, you know, I make sure that I buy, you know, this weird supplement, I spray it underneath my tongue and I get shredded, then you end up in this weird world where all the people that you're reading about, all the ideas that you're talking about, you're reinforcing this, you know, it's confirmation bias, you're reinforcing this bad idea that all scientific and evidence-based training is wrong and that all the body needs is plants and it never needs another animal again to grow muscle tissue and all this stuff. And I always see there's some truth to everything, but you know, if you get too far down the echo chamber of bad ideas, you know, you end up on a 40-day water fast and you lose all your muscle mass and all your strength and you end up in hospital, right? And that's an extreme example. But even if you take a bit of that and you believe fasting is really good and you're trying to gain weight, like what blows my mind is how many people are like so into fasting and fast every day, yet their goal is to gain muscle. I'm like, okay, but you're skipping a fucking opportunity to put in 500 to 1,000 calories every day because you read something about the magic of fasting. You don't know how to read scientific literature. You have never looked into fasting. You just saw one guy on social media talk about how fasting is good and he's got like shredded abs. But his shredded abs has like nothing to do with fasting necessarily. So there's just stuff like that that you just have to be really careful of, is because as soon as you start following one person, it's like it has this, you know, this rabbit hole effect, and it starts to build this echo chamber for you, which is, you know, we've talked about, it was on Social Dilemma, right? Yeah. Curates that content for you. So in many ways, if you're on a good path, it kind of like, I guess, exponentially grows that good path. But if you end up on a bad path with a bad idea, yeah, there's an exponential effect to grow the echo chamber of the bad path.
So I even think, even if the ideas aren't bad, they just really narrow your thinking. So often, say you just tend to follow lots of like powerlifters because you're just quite into barbell lifting. Then you like get an injury, you can't really squat. And then all day, like, man, like, what am I going to do because I can't squat? And then you just keep being reminded about it every day. Like, oh, my legs are never going to get strong. But it's because you just follow people that do barbell training.
Mm.
There's like so many other different types of training out there that if you're looking at those training every day, you'd be like, oh yeah, cool, I should try a bit of that. Oh, some kettlebell stuff would be good. Or maybe I should get back into my running. But you just see like badass people doing barbells awesome every day.
Mm.
So you just, it makes you down on yourself because you're so narrow. You think it's the only type of training.
Mm.
And then as soon as you start following some different people, you start to, I guess, just get motivated to do other things.
Yeah. Oh, what's interesting this year is I don't follow anyone. And so like, therefore, I'm only
getting... I don't do any training.
Yeah. I did nothing. Made no gains. But yeah, you generally start to think for yourself. And it's like, oh, okay, what am I interested in doing right now? What's actually going to motivate me to do certain things? And then, in some ways, I go and I seek that information. So rather being fed my ideas, I go and seek out my ideas. And, you know, I end up being much more happy, to be honest. I'm not jumping around as much now. Probably the next thing which is important to realize, and this is kind of tying together a few of the points that we just mentioned, but essentially the reality that you create for yourself online, and it's not a stretch to say that people are spending 6+ hours in this kind of phone artificial reality. Like, one of my favorite social experiments that I like to do is wait for everyone to, like, so when you go peak hour train, like everyone gets off at the same time, it's like really busy, and so basically from the top of the escalator to the bottom of the escalator, it's like completely full, like shoulder to shoulder. Everyone's on their phone, right? I always take the fast lane. I fucking hate standing on the escalator. I like walk past and I look at everyone's screen, and like 99% of the time, they're on social media, on Instagram, or they're on TikTok. And it just makes you think that, hey, like, how long is this escalator ride? 15 to 30 seconds, right? And in that 15 to 30 seconds, they have to look at their social media. Now, it's bit hard to like walk really fast upstairs, dodge everyone and be on my phone, so I'm not on it. If I was in the left lane, maybe I'd be on my social media. But the point is, everyone's living in this reality at any opportune moment that they can to like pull out the phone and just look at something. And so therefore, you are living in, at least in your headspace as well, like you're living in a different reality. Like, if you're on your phone a lot, when you are off your phone, you're often thinking about what you were just looking at on your phone or what you want to look at next on your phone, right? And so it's starting to get a bit blurry. I mean, if you were just to like write all your thoughts out on a piece of paper throughout the day, most of your thoughts would probably be related to your phone, right? Or the stuff that you're in your phone. So, you know, reality, phone, kind of getting a bit blurry here. But
you're just standing up, you're just scrolling. Why is it not working?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just wind.
Someone, just move out of my way. I'll find someone else. You're boring. But what ends up happening is that your reality is often created, like, because the people that are popular on social media, in, you know, they're really good at something, right? They're entertaining, they're informative. And if you start putting enough of those together, because how many people just like follow a bunch of regular people? Like, just follow their mates. They're like, oh, I posted my garden today. Or like, oh, I posted my Vegemite toast this morning. Like, no one really follows those people, right? So most people's feeds are made up of...
Well, they do, but those people post so rarely.
Yeah.
That you just get hammered by the dude that's getting paid to post.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So The problem with this is that it seems like everyone is better than you because they're an expert at something, right? Maybe this guy's super jacked, he's a great lifter. Maybe this person's like a really good philosopher and a great writer. Maybe this person...
More likely, maybe this girl's super, super hot.
Maybe this guy's got a lot of money, right? Mm. And it's like now you're collecting this reality of superstars that you can compare, and believe me, you can't not compare. I think this is what's interesting is people go on, they go, no, I don't compare myself to them. It goes, no. The instant you see someone's watch or you see someone's car or you see someone's life, like, you are making the comparison to your reality instantly, like instantaneously, right? Fuck, they're on a sick beach. I'm sitting on the train. This fucking sucks, right? Whether you actually consciously realize that, it's happening, right? Fuck, that person has a nice watch. I'm just wearing a basic watch. Fuck, that person's got a really nice car. I got a pretty shit car.
It's instant, right? It's like when you see someone lift and you go, fuck, that's heavy. That's the comparison.
Yeah.
Because it's just heavy for you.
Totally. Perfect
But if
example.
I see 60 kilos, I'm like, oh, fuck, that's light.
Yeah. Perfect example. Right? Fuck, that guy's ripped. That is because he's ripped compared to you.
Yeah.
Whereas if he was fat.
Bodybuilders are like, oh, he's so deconditioned.
Yeah.
When's his diet beginning? Yeah.
Right? So that's what you have to realize, is that don't give yourself this illusion that you're not comparing. The second you see something, your body, your mind, sorry, is your subconscious brain is making all the comparisons to your life. So immediately you're going to feel worse about yourself. Right? And that's not always the case, depending on who you follow, but most of the people, especially in fitness, you will feel worse about yourself, because the people that are on Instagram, they're fucking jacked. I do my best with the fucking sick locker room lighting and like the Photoshop, just kidding. But like, you know, trying to stay in shape, and like, I look at people and I'm like, fuck, I'd much rather be way more jacked. And that's why part of it's like, it's not fulfilling for me to do that stuff. There's people I follow because their content is not about that, and so it's worth following them. But most people know, because for that exact reason, you compare yourself instantly and it just makes you feel a bit sad about your life. Even some of my mates that do really well, I'm like, cool, I'm competitive, I want to do better than them. But literally tuning in every day because they're a little bit ahead of me right now, I'm like, fuck, it's kind of depressing. So I have to stop doing that. I have to focus on what I have to get done. Because if I don't focus on what I have to get done,
you'll always be behind.
Exactly. So next things, I guess, which is kind of the last point to round out on before we get into the positive stuff, which is setting your expectations correctly. And now I think what's important about this is you need to objectively think about, okay, my training, my program, and my expected results. Because if you don't set those out and you're like, okay, cool, you've written them down. My goal this year is to put 5 kilos on my back squat in a full year. It's realistic. I've spoken to a coach about it. Funny, realistic. It's probably going to happen. If I go back onto social media now with these, I need to just be aware that there will be people out there that are potentially lying to me or potentially making promises about certain things that will tempt me, that will stray me from the path that I know is the best path for me. So that's, I think, just kind of round out that point, is if you don't set your expectations in the right place, you'll go on a play on a social media land, let's call it, and you'll go there and every single thing will make you want to change your expectations about what you can do. And sometimes it's not a bad thing. Maybe it's like, oh, fuck, you know what? Maybe I should have 15 kilos in my back squat. Maybe make you try a bit harder. But just realize, I think most of the time, if you haven't set the correct expectations about your own training, you will end up on social media and be like, I should be more ripped. I should be more jacked. I should be more this, more that. And right, you can kind of tell the trend. All these things tie together. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into the positives now because I do want to get into them. Because I think that, I think social media can actually be great for helping you set your expectations, because you can go in there, you can be like, okay, this person, I've seen this and this program, and you get some ideas. I think it's just that once you get them and you start, everything after that tends to be more negative. Like, once you've got the plan, then you just have to go for it. And then everything else, like, after that just starts to mess you up along the way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, you can be on it, but if you watch some, like, athletes about to go out, it's like 10 minutes to go, and you saw him scrolling Instagram, you'd be like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you need to focus.
Yeah.
But that is still true. It's just not as critical all through your life. I still need to focus, you know? And like, yeah, you'd be like, oh, a few months out, yeah, I understand why, but you know, you're just still getting the plan. You're not set on it. But once you're set, like, he knows what he's doing at that point. If he's like, oh, I'm just checking out what other fighters are doing, you'd be like, hopefully you've got your fight plan.
Yeah. No, it's like people that potentially, you know, go into business and then they're like, all right, well, before I open my accounting firm, I'm going to go get my business degree. They go get their business degree and then it's like, oh, cool, but I want to get like my next you know, expert in finance or whatever. They get expert. Oh, no, I want a PhD in like
Excel. I want my postgrad. I want my postgrad.
Yeah, and they stay there forever because they're constantly in the planning stage and never in the doing stage. So exactly, like, you need to find out what you need, get the most from it, and then action is the next point after that, 100%. So some of the positives about what you're doing is about social media is you do get access to the evidence-based community, which is the community that works off first principles. And the example I always give is calorie deficit, right? We know energy balance is a law. It's an objective truth. If you eat less than you put out, your body will lose weight. That's just how it works, right? Whether it's keto, whether it's carnivore, whether it's vegan, whether it's the Twinkie diet, whatever it is, you will lose weight if you're in a calorie deficit. First principle. So getting access to people like that is great, because then you can apply first principles to any method. You can apply it to any influencer, to any program, right? And see if it works, test if it works. So that was probably one of the best things that about social media, is that get access to guys like Lyle McDonald, Lane Norton, some of the other guys we've had on our podcast. His name is escaping me now, but Eric Helms. These guys that are kind of the top of the evidence-based world. Even a guy like James Smith, who loves to kind of help to spread some of their information as well. That this is the kind of thinking, this is the methods of thinking that are going to elevate people's ability to get fit, get strong, get healthy. So getting access to those guys is really good. And the other thing that I like about these guys is when they are guys like our friend James Smith, they will go in and they will actually find the people who are against first principles, who are making up bullshit, and just fucking roast them to death. That's what we need more of as well. Okay, next one, groupthink. Groupthink, similar sort of thing, right? So groupthink, you get one community battle testing different ideas through a scientific method that we're unsure about. So, for example, it could be like that thing. Does long-term calorie deficits create permanent damage to your metabolism? We don't actually know. So let's go and test it. Let's find a bunch of scientists. Let's get the group together and let's all contribute to finding out this part of the information, right? Because people are doing long-term calorie deficits. They're cutting for shows. They're cutting for competitions. They're cutting to lose weight. Is there some permanent physiological damage that we need to know about that we're doing to our body? And you get this idea that comes together and they create a forum and they're able to have these discussions. They're able to go against one another and they're able to eventually find what we hope is the objective truth about these things, at least for now. Obviously, these things could change, but what seem like the best truth. So just almost like a social online way to apply the scientific method in kind of an unofficial format,
yeah.
Which is awesome. And then finally, it's actually a really good way, social media, to keep yourself accountable. You know, most people have a couple hundred followers. Even if you've got 50, 60 people that are listening, reading your stuff, yeah. It's like going out there and you say to yourself, like, it'd be like saying to everyone in your office, you know, if you've got a 50, 60 person office, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose 10 kilos by December, you know, and you tell everyone. And it gives you a level of accountability, which as long as you have integrity with yourself, you want to uphold, you know, and I think that's pretty powerful, right? Helps with 75 hard. We put it out there. People want, how are you going? What day are you up to? You know, if I told one person about 75 hard and I didn't see that person for like, I don't know, a month, 2 months, I could easily just stop.
Yeah.
You know, so it does make accountability in some senses a bit easier.
Yeah, and it's just a good, it's just one more lever you can pull. Not everybody needs it, but usually helps most people.
So look, guys, there it is. So whether you want to take it or leave it with social media, it's here to stay, that's for sure. And it's only going to become more influential in your life. So it's always good to, I guess, take account of where you're at with it and how it's affecting your life and how it's affecting your training and if it is killing your gains. And really, only you'll know the answer to that decision. All we can do is present you a bunch of different ideas for something to think about and, yeah, to ultimately make your own decision as to whether you should use it in one way or the other or just switch it off completely. So we'll leave it in your hands from there. And then, as always, we will speak to you guys next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.